Welcome to the Octagon.
What's up, everybody? Another Octagon. No, we're not talking fights. We're talking about a little somebody called Michael Jordan and the Last Dance documentary. Now I'm being joined by friends, former colleagues, but what they're most known for is talking a little basketball. Sam Dusenberry at the Sam D on Twitter, the Pick and Pop podcast. David Shepard at the Good Shepard underscore. Don't forget that underscore, obviously, on Twitter. And he's got his wonderful YouTube channel. I'll get some things that I got to call you guys out for at the end of the show. But The Last Dance has wrapped up. The documentary is probably coming to Netflix in a week or so. What are you guys' thoughts about the entire documentary? I know it's a small question for a big answer.
Right. All you, Shep.
Well, basically, what I would say, my takeaway is there's Michael Jordan and there's everybody else. LeBron James, a lot of conversation and dialogue, and what's interesting, Dusenberry and I, and I don't know if you'll agree with this, is Dennis Rodman seems like he's almost getting the most attention from this documentary because Michael Jordan was maybe a byproduct of Dr. J, and we know the game speaks for itself. But there's a Babe Ruth, there's a Wayne Gretzky, there's Jerry Rice. There is no Dennis Rodman in any other sport. And so that's almost my takeaway, is you had a guy who did what he did on stage, Vegas, dating Madonna, marrying, it wasn't Mariah Carey, it was Carmen Electra. I always get the two confused. Right.
He could have had Mariah.
He had
Claudia? Toni Braxton.
He did. Cindy Crawford. Yeah. He could have had her.
Anyone who was popping in the 90s, he had it.
Right.
I think the quarantine has just made you super, super horny, Shep. I mean, hats off to Rodman and for the women that he picked up. Like, I gained a whole new respect for him like that. Dude, he's literally a rock star during the whole Utah Jazz doing the WWF thing at the time, but for me, man, taken away from it is the Jordan confidence. Like, what about? Would you take away for Sam besides the mailman, Karl Malone incidents and that weren't discussed?
as a former Bulls fan, I was a Bulls fan growing up in that era, obviously because of Jordan or whatever. So being a New York kid, being a Bulls fan, I faced a lot of heat from all my friends growing up. So I got to relive a lot of that. So my group chats were lit for all 5 weeks of this documentary, going back or remembering those things. But the one takeaway I'll forever remember is Jerry Krause really didn't want this to continue. And as a teenager growing up, I couldn't understand it. As Mike seen the last night, he couldn't understand it. So for me, it was more like, wow, this dude really just wanted to break it all down because he wanted credit. Like, he just had that Napoleon complex that could never shake it. So for me, that was the lasting thought was, wow, nothing could have saved this. Nothing was going to make it go to seven. I don't care what Reinsdorf said last night. I think that was just potpourri. I don't think that was like legit what he was trying to get off. But the one lasting thing for me was, wow, Jerry Krause really wanted to start his own thing and do it by himself. And he did. And he won 13 games.
I mean, the Tim Floyd era, I mean, that's just the quickest thing to forget. But I do got to ask you guys this. And by the way, the reason I say Dennis Rodman is because we know about the 45-point game. We know about the 38-point flu game. We know about all that. Any historian.
No, food poisoning game now. The food poisoning.
Right.
We all had bad pizza.
Pizza. In different ways. Right. But guys, I the thing that's crazy to me, this is what's crazy, okay? You have the greatest player. Like, Michael Jordan was greater at what he did compared to what anyone else does in what they did. Like, he's not just the best. Like, when's the last time you heard anybody say, he's the Wayne Gretzky of this? Or he's the best. You always hear, he's the Michael Jordan of this. Or man, she's the Michael man. Jordan of this. Okay. Would you guys agree with that?
Yeah. Where
Jordan is always the boss.
Right. So my point is
Jordan S, right? I think that's
It's a verb.
Right. My point is, if you look at what he did, not just from a gate revenue perspective, not just from a domestic revenue perspective, but international super duper megastar. If you're Reinsdorf,
How the hell do you let Kraus dictate what Phil Jackson's going to do or not do? And how do you let Jordan walk away? You have the greatest gift in the history of Chicago sports. He should have gone number one over Elijah Wan and Bowie. That's another discussion. But how do you let that happen?
100%, man. I think the director nailed that home. That, like, Jordan said, if you presented everybody, I know that it's 20-something years later, and I know maybe he says he would have done the Pat Riley Heat players type of renegotiating contracts, but I think you got to present the players and Pippen and everybody with that opportunity to re-sign for the 1 year. I mean, I think the director painted it that way, that Jerry Krause and management are the enemies in the situation.
Well, Reinsdorf certainly was, like, focused on, like, the fiscal matters. Like, that roster that they brought in the next year was, like, only $28 million. If they would have kept the Bulls intact,
do you know the cap roughly, at that time?
It would have been roughly – well, if they would have kept the current team together, it would have been roughly about $60 to $70
million. Okay.
So I think the cap was around $75 million. So they would have been pushing the cap. So the Bulls went to $28 million that next year with a bunch of bumps, right? And they still made the same money that they made that the year The Last Dance. So the profit margin that Reinsdorf was able to get off just by having a trash roster with no money, like, that's the real reason why. Yes, Krause wanted to get his credit, but Reinsdorf's no fool. He's an owner for a reason. He's a billionaire for a reason. He wanted to keep that money rolling in. And by cutting the fat, if you will, trimming the fat, not wanting to pay Luke Longley or Steve Kerr or Judd Bushler, let the bums come through on these rookie deals or these minimum deals, and we're still going to sell out 41 nights a year, and we're going to make all that cachet. So it was a money thing. It was a power thing with Krause.
Yeah, jump in, Shep.
Wait, I just want to understand this, being the aficionado when it comes to a Bulls fan, and I respect where you're coming from. You know that.
Former now.
Former, right. Well, Derrick Rose was a long time ago. I don't blame you. But look, I mean, Duesenberry, you're telling me they sold out with that squad?
Yeah.
I think, so I know Pippen and Rodman were gone at that point. I know Jordan obviously was gone at that point. Kerr, Harper, et cetera. You're telling me that a Kukoc-led team sold out 41 games at the United Center? That's a fact. You're going on record at that?
Yep, that's I am on record. I mean, the financials are there. It's available. Like, the Bulls were a hot ticket even with a 13-win team. You know, they got booed every night, but they still sold out every night.
Wait a second. But what about merchandise?
Well, that I don't have the numbers on. But I would assume just off the fact, because I don't know what jersey you're buying. I mean, maybe you still got some Kukoc ones. Harper was still on the roster. So he had some holdovers.
He was there in 90. I know he was in the Lakers.
Harper, that was his last year with the Bulls. Okay. That was his last year.
Wow.
But, so they still had enough holdovers where you could kind of sell the image of, well, we still have some remnants of The Last Dance still here. But 13 wins, man. Dickie Simpkins getting minutes. I mean, that should tell you enough.
My biggest takeaway is just about life. It's like, it doesn't matter how much you're winning, how much money everybody's making, how great you guys are collectively. Egos get in the way, man. And I think time shows that because of what just happened with Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, and I think Robert Kraft would lean towards Tom Brady maybe, but just shows you, man, people can't be happy. Like, Krause from the beginning was painted as the enemy, and then what was it, 8 years, 7 years later, then he's still the bad guy. Right. They did a good job not killing him because he's not present, obviously. Rest in peace, Jerry Krause. But Reinsdorf going off at the end with that quote, man, he's saying it was a fiscal thing. It's a bad look. And I think the director did a great job just making it the whole audience side with Jordan. And it's just sad. But it seems – I wanted to talk about the characters next. It seems that Shep, Dennis Rodman was your guy, right? That was your episode, man, seeing him with Madonna, Carmen Electra, wearing no bras, being the party girl with the rock star basketball player, man. Like, was that your favorite player from that Bulls team?
Well, he was the most fascinating.
Come on, bro. You know you want to be in that lifestyle, wearing leather vest. They got the Samuel Jackson hat, smoking cigars with Hulk Hogan. Come on, just say it, Chef.
Nice no, life. No, I've never spoiled. We're gonna move down a Hulk Hogan route. I mean that life, but that's been for the last 10 years.
Oh, yeah.
Hulk Hogan would definitely not want me or Dennis Rodman around right now.
And listen, he wouldn't want.
Oh, yeah. Oh wait, I was thinking about the sex tape. I forgot about that actual quote.
Yeah.
But you know, I mean, it really goes to show you that Michael Jordan, his personality is so endearing. I mean, he is not just an alpha, but
I think he could be a politician. I'd vote for him.
Yeah. Well,
you wouldn't. You wouldn't.
Well, I mean,
he's 10 times better Trump. 10 times better. Well, like, businessman.
You're 10 times better Trump. I mean, that's not saying much.
Trump 10 years ago. Trump 10 years ago was 10 times better Trump than he is in 2020. That's how bad it's gotten. But
continue your point.
To me, Michael Jordan. Well, no. To me, my main takeaway is this is what I hope everyone got out of this documentary. The greatness speaks for itself. There's no debate over LeBron and Michael. To me, and I don't know if you guys saw snippets of this, but Kareem is better than LeBron. You can't surpass Michael if you're not better than Kareem. But that's a whole nother discussion. But I will say this. Michael Jordan, to this day, and this just speaks to who Michael Jordan was, could walk in a room with LeBron, with Shaq, with Giannis, and he would still be the biggest draw in that room.
Because he's cooler. He's just cooler than them. I'm sorry. It's like his goals is being a competitor and he's an alpha just from his hard work, man. It's like he just seemed cooler. When that Bulls player was going to him for tickets, you guys remember that scene? It was like that was real Jordan. That's like the cameras off. Like this is the alpha is in the room, Jordan. Like even a player on his own team. What's up?
He called himself God. He was like, God. Yeah, and he carried that energy. Like that's
Black Jesus.
Like that was real.
What was your take on the Pick and Pop podcast? Exactly like your biggest gripe, but you were saying is it pre-Rona? Is it during Rona? According to the Reggie Miller interview, because that's before my time with the basketball. Were you expecting like Reggie Miller to be like an a-hole?
Well, Reggie is a known liar and embellisher.
I didn't know this.
Yeah, so if you go back to the Kobe Memorial when they were at Center Court at Staples.
Okay.
Reggie told one of the biggest lies ever. And it was so bad, like Dwayne Wade had to kind of look away because like Reggie was trying to get that serious moment of relating, like me and Kobe were so tight, X, Y, and Z. And it was a wowzer of a lie that no one could even look Reggie in the face because Reggie was going to lose it.
Do you remember exactly what the quote was that Reggie was?
Kobe called Reggie and wanted to get info on Mike, how to play against him, different tactics that he uses, this, that, and the third. So Reggie is referring to him, as he said last night, as the Black Cat. He said, look, the Black Cat does this, the Black Cat does that. Towards the end of the phone call, allegedly, according to Reggie, Mamba says to him, by the time I play you or by the time we meet again, you're going to call me the Caramel Cat. Now, what about Kobe Bean Bryant?
Not a bad name.
Makes you think he would say, now this is the same guy came up with Black Mamba, Vino, all of that stuff. Caramel Cat? And you have to see the video to really like feel the lie. Because like he's grabbing Reggie. He's sitting next to D-Wade. He grabs D-Wade's arm because D-Wade's trying to look away because the lie is so blatant. And Reggie's like, let me get this lie off. Just let me finish the line and then we can move on. So it was just a ridiculous story. So I was looking for more lies from Reggie last night and I was disappointed. I was very disappointed. So I was a little curious about when he was interviewed. Because Stockton was interviewed during the Rona. They couldn't get to him before. So I was wondering if because Reggie's might be in a different mindset, he might not want to get those lies off like he probably would have if everything was normal. So that was my biggest gripe. Like, I wanted another crazy Caramel Cat type lie.
Okay.
And have Reggie, the footage, be shown to Mike on the iPad and let Mike react off of that. That's the meme I wanted last night.
Fair enough. I agree with you, too. Again, on the Pick and Pop podcast, you're talking about there was no Karl Malone presence. I think the editors did a good job at explaining how many points he had. Like, I didn't know this whole history. And him going on the bus and shaking everybody's hand, that was pure class.
That was cool.
My biggest gripe was the absence of Karl Malone. I got to look up this Reggie Miller thing. I only know him from 2K4 or NBA Live 04 and maybe the NBA Dunk Contest. With Charles Barkley and Kenny Smith. But what was your biggest gripe of the series or the latest episodes, Mr. Good Shepherd?
Well, I wanted to kind of pose this back on you guys, because I found this fascinating, because do you guys get excited when current players name their top five and they know enough about the game where they can go back to Dr. J? Because we're a little old. We're now at a point where we're older than most players.
Don't say that.
We are. Well, he might be a little younger than us.
No, I'm the same age as Derrick Rose. It's like when he was drafted, I'm going with him.
Right. Dusenberry, we're running out of time. LeBron's all we got. Carmelo's all we got at this point in terms of athlete ultimateness. But Tyson Chandler, thank God.
Hanging on by a thread. Yeah.
But what's amazing, and so this is the question I would pose to you guys. Why didn't they have a current player in this documentary?
I mean, they had the Carmelo, remember when Carmelo, you're talking about like an actual sit-down interview?
Yeah, all of that was post-production. Yeah, all of that was post-production stuff.
Kobe was the closest. They should have had LeBron.
Again, this 100%. This is a Jordan-controlled doc.
True.
I don't think Jordan's letting CJ McCollum or even LeBron come through and get any type of shine on his doc. So I think that might have played into the creative control aspect, why you didn't get anyone current.
And is Jordan's ego shook a little? Like the timing of this documentary, Space Jam gets signed, LeBron's won 3 rings, possibly going for 4 this year. The timing is just like an ego check, like, hey, LeBron, hey, NBA audience, hey, world, oh, by the way, this is what I did? No?
Yeah, let me play devil's advocate for a second. Vince Carter's he's a UNC guy, has a relationship with MJ. They can't get him. They can't get Tyson Chandler.
I mean, that's like the oldest active player. Like even an Allen Iverson.
I'm not sure what they would have added besides like the obvious of how great Jordan was, unless they're gonna tell stories. Like if they're gonna tell stories about playing with Mike, hanging with Mike, whatever, then yeah, I think they could have worked some of that stuff in. But it's just going to be them shilling about Mike. Then I mean,
100%. But Durant, Westbrook, Harden,
if they have a story though,
here's my thing though, if you listen to AI and Ray Allen, the guys that came about 10 years after Jordan, right? The Kobe 96, Garnett 95 guys, Kid 94 guys, Grant Hill, they looked at Michael Jordan as a mythical figure. It's almost like he was – you listen to half these guys' Hall of Fame speeches now that are getting in now. The first person they're thanking is Michael Jordan. I mean, that is the reverence he has. I can't see that being the case for LeBron. But I think what would have really put the nail in the coffin is if you have LeBron's peers getting on this documentary, post-production or not.
In that sense, then I feel then the director, Jason Henner, was probably a little lazy then. He could have searched for that story from Durant or Westbrook.
Westbrook, Harden. I mean,
would have connected to this generation as well. You're right in that sense.
Those guys are around our age. I just thought that would have been really special for guys in this day and age to come on and say, listen, we know LeBron's great. If it's Durant, they say, look, we know I can score the best of them. We're not MJ.
Wow.
I don't know how many of those guys would have – well, LeBron has always kind of shilled for Jordan. He's paid reverence, KD as well. I would kind of want to get the opposite. Like, I would want LeBron to be like, look, I think I could take Mike one-on-one. Right. Like, my peak versus his peak, I'm 6'9", 260. I'm killing him in the paint. Like, I would want that kind of talk because I think all of us pay verbal bouquets to Mike. I think there's very few people that aren't trying to clickbait who are like, you know, have real negative feelings about MJ. Yeah. So I think everyone kind of pays lip service. So for me, I don't know if that would have hit for me, but I do think they could have at least attempted if they had stories. That would have been like if LeBron and Mike kind of had that kind of Kobe Mike relationship or something like that, then I'm all about that type of stuff.
100%. And on the Good Shepherd podcast and YouTube channel, David, you're talking a lot about Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Will Chamberlain and LeBron James. For both you guys, what's your – obviously Jordan's number one, but what's your 2-5 in no particular order?
Is Jordan one?
Come on. Is that the hot take? Is that the hot take out of this?
We're going to pull the curtain a little bit. We're going to reveal people behind the curtain right now. How much time do you really want to get into this, Dusenberry? You really want to put out the fact that Michael Jordan's not?
I can argue Jordan is not even top five. So however,
thank you for the social media clicks. Thank you, Sam.
I don't believe it, but I can argue it. I can make the case. Do I believe it? No. Jordan to me
So who do you believe is 2-5?
Well, I think you got to go Wilt, Kareem. You can flip-flop him, do whatever you want. There's too much dominance there. Michael Jordan is the greatest player that's not a center to ever play the game of basketball.
That's your argument?
There's too much that Wilt did, and there's way too much that Kareem did for me to just say this guy.
The rings.
In this era of basketball. Because, again, we have to, again, play to the era of the game. Like, the 90s was great. It's okay. Nostalgic. But in terms of style of play, it's a little ugly.
Go for it, Dave.
Okay, so let's
get him, Dave.
Let's get to Wilt for a second. We know he's the greatest regular season player in the history of the NBA. Can't deny that. Can't argue that. He was so good. He averaged 50.41 year, 45 the next year.
He's the Babe Ruth, as you said on your YouTube channel.
Sure, but the thing Will Chamberlain had against Babe Ruth is Babe Ruth came along where the competition was even less because there was no integration back then. Will Chamberlain at least played an era where there was obviously integration. But I will say this, his numbers dipped, speaking of dipper, his numbers dipped in the postseason. But dude, we got to be fair here.
Seven Hall of Famers in the Celtics. Come on now.
Wait a minute.
Seven Hall of Famers.
Well, first of all, they're 7-8 Hall of Famers because Bill Russell comes along and he makes them 7-8 Hall of Famers. Let's just be real about that. Wait a minute. How many titles did they win before Russell? How many titles?
How many of those guys were there?
Bob Cousy, Bill Sharman, Frank. I think Frank Ramsey was there.
Was hanging on.
Bill Sharman was a good shooter.
Hanging on. Come on now. Don't give me a shot. Come on.
I need a string. I just need to have a
Cousy,
string.
Cousy, yes. I'll give you that. But in terms of what Wilt Chamberlain was able to do against 6-7 Hall of Famers and still put up 30-20 type production down from his 50-30 from the regular season,
you didn't hear me? Wait, time out. There's like an internet thing there. Wait.
I think you blew out your connection for screaming. Wait. You were like frozen in time, Chef.
Okay. So even if you want to make the argument, even if your perspective and point is that the Celtics are 6-7 Hall of Famers, Bill Russell was on his last leg in 69. Sam Jones was on his last leg. You had two of the top, at that particular time, three of the top five players of all time on one team. Fill me in on who those players were, along with Gail Goodrich. Who were the other two players that Will Chamberlain had on his team that were still not at the twilight of their careers? In 1969, and they still lost the NBA Finals. We know who they are, right?
And we also know the circumstances of Will Chamberlain not playing a certain game, too, right?
He had Game 6 and Game 7.
Oh, but I mean, look, if you're giving away games and you have Wilt, if you're benching Wilt out of spite, that has to be included. That has to be factored in.
They were down. First of all, they were down when he got benched. I know. You're talking about Van Bredekhoff, right?
Uh-huh.
In 69. I get that. But here's the thing. You're losing at that point. First of all, you shouldn't even go 7 games with Jerry West, Elgin Baylor, and Gail Goodrich. Come on now. You know.
I think that had more to do with the style of play. If they would have let – they wanted Wilt to appease – Elgin and Jerry. If they would let Wilt still be Wilt, I think they would have probably taken out that old Celtics.
If you're that guy, you don't allow it to get to the point where you say to yourself, well, they didn't allow me to be who I was. If you're the greatest of all time, you dictate the mentality and perspective and strategy on that particular team. But if we really want to make this even more clear, let's go to 1970. They lose a game in which Jerry West was the second best player in that series. Now, Walt Frazier had a great game 7, but you're telling me Michael Jordan loses back-to-back finals against inferior teams?
Well, if you're talking about that Knicks team, we have to look at how many Hall of Famers are on that court. I mean, we're talking about at least 4 Hall of Famers. We're talking about Willis, Clyde, DeBuscher, and Dollar Bill. So, again, this is –
Bill Bradley, come on. You're going to use Bill Bradley?
He's in there. I didn't put him in there. Look, that's a whole other conversation because I could kick out half the dudes that are in the Hall of Fame. But right. Dollar Bill's in there. Yes, Vladdy's in there. Alonzo shouldn't be in there. Clyde Drexler shouldn't be in there. I can run down –
what's your qualification then? I want to know this for sure then. If Jordan isn't one, how do you qualify your first player? Just like sheer individual dominance, like a baseball player?
In terms of Wilt or Kareem?
like, who would be your number one? If it is
It would be Wilbur Kareem.
And why? Why?
The flip-flop. Because for
because
me,
stats, because of dominance.
Big man dominance. To me, to be the best of all time, you have to be clearly dominant. Now, team success is another thing, but both of them did have team success. That's why I would probably lean Kareem over Will.
How many championships each? Guys, again, I'm the MMA guy, but I was captivated by The Last Dance. How many championships did Wilt have? How many championships did Kareem have?
Well, Wilt only had two.
Wilt, okay, and how many did Kareem?
Wait, time out. Duesenberg, can you say that again, please, for our audience?
Wilt Chamberlain, the guy who averaged 50 points a game and 30-plus rebounds. Yeah, that guy, he only had two championships.
I mean, if he had – if he had maybe three,
that's why if you're gauging dominance of team success, it's Kareem. If you're dominance, dominance.
Why do you anoint Kareem over Michael Jordan when Kareem? Listen, I love Kareem, but why do you anoint that when in the first 10 seasons of Kareem's career, he only has one title? Jordan, in same comparison, has three and didn't have the cast of characters that Jabbar had.
Who were the cast of characters besides Big O?
What was it, Mike? And when he got to the Lakers, he had Wilkes. So he had some good.
Really?
It was a Hall of Fame. Hall of Famer.
Another guy we could probably kick out. Like, so, I mean, look, I don't want to get this into a Jordan Kareem Will thing. No, I'm just saying.
I've never heard this, man.
The case could be made. The case, and look, I was a hardcore Bulls fan. So Jordan was everything. But when I went back and watched Kareem, when I went back and read all the stuff about Wilt, read books on him, watched some docs on him, I was like, good Lord, this is different. This isn't just George Mikan and just being the tallest dude to ever play basketball in his era. This is Wilt.
Don't be disrespectful to George Mikan.
He gave us the Mikan drills and what else? That's literally all he contributed to the game of basketball. He's the first tall dude to play.
He was the first NBA superstar.
The first to grab a basketball and shoot it into a peach basket.
He's
another one that should not be in the Hall of Fame. No. But it's okay.
Is Shaq the third best big man?
George Mikan's not a Hall of Famer?
Shaq's the third best big man?
I'm asking. Like, no, are you putting Wilt and Kareem?
I mean, he's not even top five. Shaq's not top five. Shaq is
big man, right? Now I'm not talking about
players.
Yeah,
big man, Shaq. I can make the case he's not top five.
You got Duncan ahead of him?
Well, to me, Tim Duncan's a power forward.
Okay.
You could go Wilt Kareem, Moses. Moses keeps getting left out of these conversations. Moses Malone, Mr. Fo-Fo-Fo. We need to stop and put some respect on Moses Malone's name. And then I got Hakeem over Shaq.
Okay.
So, you know, maybe he's fifth on a good day.
I say combine dominance, individual dominance with team success.
When was he dominant? And was he alone when he was dominant?
I'm combining them, though. Combining.
Who was more dominant in Orlando, him or Dwight? Be careful.
Obviously, Dwight.
It's not.
MVP, right?
Okay. He was defensive player of the year.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Shaq, first of all, Shaq's window in Orlando was 4 years. You probably never thought we were going in this direction.
I didn't even know he played in Orlando, so continue. No.
Seriously?
Shaq? Yeah.
I'm kidding. That's when he broke the backboard.
Quite forgettable. I mean.
Wait a second. He led the league in scoring. Was he 22 or 23 when he did it? I know he won a title.
Shaq? In Orlando?
He dropped 29 a game.
Okay. Okay.
He had a lot of help to get that 29.
Sam, I don't know. Hakeem?
Look, what happened when they played the finals?
I know where he's going with this, right? But Shaq was 20. Well, first of all, Nick Anderson, Hakeem Olajuwon should be sending bouquets to Nick Anderson's house. Okay.
That was game one. Was game one.
Okay. But Shaq was 23 in fairness. So they're the only team. This is how good Shaq was. He was all NBA first team in his stint with Orlando. He was clearly the best player. They had not even made the play. They hadn't made the playoffs before he got there.
Oh, so it was listen.
You can tell me all you want about how he had Penny, and I love me some Penny. But when Shaq left, Penny didn't advance past the first round.
He also got hurt.
He didn't. He wasn't hurt
the first year. I know that he didn't get hurt.
Okay, thank you.
Look, My whole thing with Shaq is it's more of me being pro Dwight than most people. So for me,
he can't play offense. Dwight can't play offense. He's better than Shaq.
He dropped 20. We're not talking about that. I didn't say he scored more points. I'm saying he was better. He did more with less in Orlando than Shaq did with more. Dwight Howard took a squad that had Rashard Lewis and Rafer Austin starting. Jameer Nelson was on the bench.
Turkoglu was well. Jameer
Michael
Nelson
Petrus, you know, French Jordan. He took that team and went to LeBron in his peak in Cleveland and got to the NBA Finals.
Well, you and I.
That once he got Penny, Dwight never had a Penny type player to give him that help, and he walked through LeBron when Shaq had to go through the best player in his conference, Jordan, 23, Jordan, not 45. He took that L and they got swept up out of there. While against the best player in his conference, went through there with a squad that had Skip Tamalu and French Jordan and beat the king.
Well, we also have to look at that 09.
I'll argue pre-peak, though, for LeBron.
You're talking about 09, a team. I don't even know if Mo Williams – I think Mo Williams was on that team.
He was on
We're talking
team.
About a guy who couldn't play in the league.
Somehow he made the All-Star game, I believe, too.
Well, that was only out of
LeBron's the ball. The king, so he was still the best player in the game at that point. Dwight Howard took the best player in the game and put him on the side.
If he's the best player in the game, he also got knocked out in 08 by the Celtics. I know they won the championship, but he also got knocked out by the Celtics, and they had the best record by far in 2010. So let's not make LeBron out to be Black Jesus a la Michael Jordan, okay?
All I'm saying is that Dwight did more with less. You can make that case that he was more impactful in Orlando than Shaq was.
Wow.
Shaq was the only player in the East that found a way to beat Jordan. You can't disclude
45.
That.
45. He beat 45. He beat a baseball player.
That's unfair,
for
Sam.
Being a baseball player?
Sam.
You can't get props for beating a baseball player. He should have been back with the Barons. You're out here trying
and
to dribble.
Horace and Grant had the whole game plan.
If
and he's like, that's
Michael,
the game plan.
If you're Michael Jordan and you're within a time frame of 21 years old to even his Wizards days at 40 years old, because he was still really good then, that gets overlooked. That gets not talked about enough. The narrative is unfair there. He's still Michael Jordan. Because you know what? The same guy who was a baseball player drops 55 in his fourth game back. It was the
against
most
bad Knicks
scored
team.
In SG. Say it again?
Against a bad Knicks team.
55, man.
Wait.
Against a bad Knicks team.
Wait a minute. That Knicks team, took the Pacers to a game 7 of the conference semifinals and should have gone to the conference finals if Ewing knows how to make a layup at the end of that regulation.
But he didn't, right? Because he's not
I understand that, but that wasn't a bad Knicks team. That was a very good Knicks team. They weren't great.
It's
always
the Knicks.
Hold on. Let's stick with the Knicks. We're running out of time because this is not the premium Zoom. Sam, I got an issue with you. Why the hell is Carmelo Anthony the cover photo of the Pick and Pop podcast? It's the cover photo on Twitter. Why Carmelo?
Oh,
I got an issue with that.
Carmelo Anthony.
His favorite player is Will Chamberlain.
Carmelo Anthony, the 17th highest scorer in NBA history.
Unfortunately.
Completely,
same thing as Phillip Rivers.
Completely
he's
overlooked.
He's got a ton of yards.
he's been torn down for reasons that are beyond him.
I know
he's
you like strippers star. And maybe impregnating strippers, but come
he's,
on, man.
He's
a selfish
he's
player. Been, he's a selfish man.
What team? Who was he supposed to pass to on that Knicks team?
His contract wouldn't let him pass
to
anybody.
Who was he
was
supposed
too big.
To pass to on that Knicks team?
Too big, man. And didn't they
I'm
do well
hearing,
with Linsanity when
hearing,
Carmelo was hurt?
I'm not hearing arguments. I'm not hearing facts. I'm hearing opinions.
Shut. Back me up on that.
Well, no. He very well knows.
He took a team to a Western Conference Finals, and the only guy that beat him that
Chauncey Billups
finals,
and Carmelo's best year in the Knicks was with Chauncey Billups.
Chauncey had nothing to do with that. Melo was a complete monster, and the only thing that got in his way, he wasn't. You want to pull up the stats on that?
Why does it? Wait a minute. I love me some Mello, but why does it take? If you don't want to importantize, and I know that's not a word, but I just made it up. Chauncey Billups is on that team.
Who was the lead dog?
Carmelo couldn't get past.
I said Billups is the lead dog.
Western Conference Finals. It was him.
He couldn't get past
Kobe.
Kobe had Billups. He's never been outside of a first or second round without Chauncey Billups. In the West, he couldn't get to a second round. Chauncey Billups was a difference maker. And you and I both know
that. He was a solid point guard.
He was a difference maker.
Dude, he's better than Chris Paul.
He knew. Oh, well, Eric, you're better than Chris Paul. He's a fraud. So
I'm better than Carl Paul.
He makes four All-NBA first teams. He's a seven-time All-NBA defensive first team player.
Who's this? The point fraud?
Chris Paul's a fraud. Yes. We got to do part two of this.
He's also a habitual nut hitter, just like Draymond. So I don't respect any player. I don't care what kind of accolades you give him.
See, I think Sam goes by like a certain like unwritten codes.
Well, no, because Sam's right. Chris Paul's the only one that has gotten away with things in the history of the NBA.
Apparently, Dave plays ball too, and he's exceptional.
But Dave knows if he goes up against a guy that's routinely being dirty, routinely punching him in his nuts, he's going to feel a way about judging the overall characteristics and attributes of this player. You're going to look at him differently. Chris Paul has been punching people in the nuts since Wake Forest.
But I don't want to hear that. But you're isolating Chris Paul as the only demon to ever take the court of the NBA.
There's Stockton, so there's Isaiah, there's Draymond.
Stockton was very – Well, first of all, Draymond's not in that conversation. But do you put –
No, but in terms
Isaiah
of dirtiness, he is.
I understand that. But you can't take away Chris Paul's greatness, his ability to get
He's choked in a big spot. James Harden carry him to the Western Conference Finals. It's the only time he made it. That ballyhooed New Orleans Hornets team that got all this praise of Chris Paul, the leader. Every single starter's got a chip except him. So, I mean, what's the common denominator here?
So James Harden only gets to a conference finals as the primary figure with Chris Paul, but you're going to say
that there with Dwight Howard. People forget that. He got there with Dwight Howard.
I'm gonna give you that one. You're right. What I will say is this: they lose Game 6 and Game 7. You and I both know if Chris Paul's hamstring holds up, the Rockets go to the finals.
0 for 27. Chris Paul could have easily been. Chris Paul could have easily made it 0 for 30.
If Chris Paul's on the court, they don't go 0 for 27 for three.
I say we get into the current roster. We do like a playoff preview. I think it's coming back, right? In maybe a month or 6 weeks, I think it'll come back, right? They're going to do like a little tournament.
They're going to try something.
Okay. Yeah. And we got to do the part two of this. But, Dave, my only gripe with you, the Good Shepherd, again on Twitter, starring Matt Damon and directed by Robert De Niro. Did you even see the movie? You stole the name, but did you even see – you didn't see
– I didn't steal the name. It's a different spelling. I didn't steal the name. Do you guys like the flow off the tongue of that? The Good Shepherd?
I know it was a movie, and it's your podcast. So
I mean, it works with your name, so that's always a good tie-in.
Dude, I am very impressed with your NBA knowledge, man. Like, I didn't know you knew the NBA.
Oh,
like
don't
this,
be condescending. I'm calling a technical on that.
Dude,
you haven't slept.
Never had a chance to really chop it up when we were working in the same building.
Right.
I didn't know his knowledge. He didn't know mine. So we never really had a chance.
That's two alphas.
To really sit down and break bread like this. So.
That's two alphas. Kobe and Shaq. Who's going to be the one knocked out of town first? That's my question.
Who's got the chart? We're not even going to go there. Again, Sam Dusenberry at the Sam D. I guess somebody took the Sam D.
I'm not the Sam D. I'm the Sam D. I'm the one that matters. I'm the Sam D.
Maybe he's a poetry reader. The Sam D on Twitter, the Pick and Pop podcast. You can listen to his smooth vocals. It's like peanut butter and velvet. I stole that from a commercial. David Shepherd at the Good Shepherd _. I don't know why you had to put an underscore. Kill me with that. His YouTube channel, guys. Thank you so much for the time. Get back to work, Shepherd. Get some sleep.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate you.
Thank you, Susan Berry.
See you, Chef.